T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into episode something.
Five.
Five of Trust the Tape.
Four was last week. You were right about that, right?
I think. If I said four, it
was. You
four.
Said you guys, you build people for four, so I'd go on
with
you.
What do you mean build? I do this out of the kindness of my heart. Build people.
No free lunch in that draft.
Get out of here.
That.
Welcome in. It's Jeff Cavanaugh, JC1053 on Twitter. And Brian Broaddus, at Brian Broaddus on Twitter, a.k.a. the greatest drafter in the history of the NFL.
Hmm.
Brian Broaddus, right here on a podcast for you, just for you. Tell your friends. Get them to download it. Maybe somehow we'll make
money.
How's
that coming along, by the way?
What's that?
You know all about the numbers and stuff like that. We doing all right on this thing?
I haven't checked. But
we haven't won any awards for it yet or anything like that?
We should.
People have not talked about it as one of the top 150 podcasts, sports podcasts in the country.
They probably should. I'll check. I'll have to check the charts. If we're not in the top, it's because people are not paying attention.
No, you need to pay attention.
We need our 5-star reviews. We need people to tell their friends
to
listen.
Let's not beg. Let's just give good content.
That's not how it works. If you won't tell people how good you
food.
Are, who will?
Yeah.
You know? If I don't believe in me, who will?
Okay, I believe in you, man.
We got a lot of questions.
A lot of points.
Hey, calm down. Gosh, we're trying to get this thing underway, Brian, for crying out loud.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. What's up? How you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. Excited. Have you got to the point now where you're kind of like, you're starting to get surprised about some guys? Like you're thinking like, okay, you get to a certain point, and you're like, okay, top guys. And now you're looking at guys that were projected like third, fourth round guys, and you're trying to put them in that second round of yours that has them all stacked in there. Are you getting to that point?
I got 5 second round corners at the moment.
5 second round
corners. And I bet some people have more than that. Yeah, I got five. Like my first round corners, Okuda, Fulton, Henderson.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Okuda, Ohio State, Christian Fulton, LSU, CJ Henderson.
You're not going to include Diggs at all on that, right? You don't like Diggs.
Diggs is my sixth corner.
Okay.
Jeff Gladney's at the top of the second. Damon Arnett, Ohio State. Trayvon Diggs. Yeah, watched Arnett yesterday.
You haven't seen Terrell yet then?
Oh, no, I still haven't seen Terrell.
Yeah.
Dang it.
I asked you about that one. I just have nightmares about
Jamar Chase in the national title game.
It's one game.
Games are important, Brian.
Games are very important.
As the best receiver he probably played. Got toe up.
No.
Get a toe up. That's okay. I guess I'm starting to find some guys. I'll be honest, I don't really like this draft.
What?
Yeah, I don't really like this draft.
What do you mean by that? Because you have no edge rushers?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, there's one edge rusher.
Why? Why are you already giving up on it?
I'm not giving up on it.
This is terrible podcasting with you giving up on these draft players.
Corners are fun. Linebackers.
Receivers are fun. I watch those every day.
Yeah, receivers are always fun.
I'm not going to watch any offensive linemen because I'm against those guys. I hate every running back that's ever played in the National Football League or college football.
I love DeAndre Swift. He's great. Your guy's great. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's great. Yeah.
What do you like about him?
Zach Moss is great. Edwards-Helaire just looks really good at everything.
Yeah.
Like everything that he does.
Like that. Watch that Alabama game.
I like the way he's built. I like the shiftiness. I like the power. I like the receiver.
But I like him in the second round.
Oh, yeah, that's where running backs go. Yeah. You get 4 good years out of him.
Okay, let me ask you this, though, of those running backs and stuff. You talked about Moss.
Yeah.
You know, in this day and age, though, should you not draft a running back in the first round? I mean, do you get a point in time where on your board, a running back's there at 23? Okay, you're maybe outside your top first round grades, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, is there a point in time where Jeffrey Kavanaugh sees value in drafting a running back? Where
there was
Dobbins, Swift, Edwards-Helaire, Moss. You know,
once upon a time,
this Akers kid from Florida State's another one you need to watch.
Boy, he looks strong.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, I would have picked a running back at the end of the first, like the Patriots did with Sony Michel.
Yeah.
Only problem is now guys are holding out, so I don't even get my 5 years out of you before you hold out, which is smart on their part.
Sure, they know they're not going to get paid, right?
Yeah, but it means that I just probably wouldn't do it.
Let me
just
ask you this,
pick one in the second or third round and then pick another one 3 years later and move it on down the road.
We've had a shift. You know, a lot of these, if you're following along in the NFL, there's a lot of these backs that teams are talking about either trading or moving on from.
Well, look, Le'Veon Bell got paid and they tried to trade him the same year, and now they're trying to trade him again. Devontae Freeman got like $8 million a year.
Your guy here's the only one that's
cutting him. Todd Gurley, they're trying to get something done.
No, they're not going to cut Zeke.
Zeke is the last
man standing. Right.
He's the last man standing.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to pay Derrick Henry now, probably Tennessee, and 3 years from now, they'll be like, what in the world did we do?
But let me ask you this, though. There's a come a point in time, though, where these backs are really the identity of their team. And I understand what you're saying about Zeke here. I get it. All along, your day job is talking about you should never pay a running back. I get that.
Okay, here's my problem. You ready for my running back problem?
Tie it into this draft with these kids if you can.
Okay, over the last 2 or 3 years, it almost goes by three-week increments. Who's the best running back in football? For a while, it's like, Ezekiel Elliott's the best back in football, right?
Right.
He was the best back in football, no doubt about it.
Right.
At the end of this last season, there is no doubt Derrick Henry is the best back in football.
But before is that Tennessee's identity?
But before that, there was no doubt that Christian McCaffrey was the best back in football. And
right.
Before that, Saquon Barkley is generational. He's the best back in football. Le'Veon Bell, before all of them, was the best back in football. So one of the backs in this draft class in the next 24 months will be the quote best back in football for like 4 weeks until we find another flavor to talk about. I think it's so tied into your team. Like Derrick Henry had a great run the second half of the year.
Sure.
They block really well. He wasn't having that run until they got capable quarterback play by benching Mariota.
Yeah.
I just think that so much goes into running back success that I don't want to tie money into it. Sony Michel went to 3.9 yards a carry last year because Tom Brady's not good anymore.
So you're not even thinking about if you're a team under the Jeff Kavanaugh program, you're not even thinking about a first round back. You're not. You're looking for a 3-4 year guy. That's all you want.
Yes, that's it. Because
if he's got complete back traits, say
Edwards-Helaire has complete back traits.
How about Swift?
How is he as a receiver? I haven't studied him. I know he can run.
We've always had problems with receivers. Always those running backs that come out of Georgia. Yeah, exactly. Dobbins looks like he's complete.
He looks really good.
Moss got some complete traits to him.
But you've already named four guys, so I'll just take the fourth one. I'll let somebody else use the first round pick. I want to use my first round pick.
Talk about Benjamin from Arizona State. And again, you need to look at the Akers kid from Florida State just to have an idea.
I want to use my first round pick in a perfect world on a really good prospect at a premium position. So here's how I could use a first round pick on a back. You get to, let's say my team picks 30th, and we get to 30, and I got a first round grade on a running back.
Yeah.
And everything else on my board is twos. I don't have another first round pick.
Oh, yeah, your board.
It's clearly my best
player. It's your best player.
I'd go, okay. But if I can't block, I'm not picking him.
But you put him there.
Right.
You put him as a first-round grade.
Yeah.
So to me,
I just have to be very frugal with my first-round grade.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You have to be very mindful of not window dressing your board.
Yeah.
But be also mindful of, can this player help us win football games?
Yeah.
And obviously, if you have a first-round grade on him, you think he can.
Yeah. Yeah, there's good running backs. They get hurt so much. What they do is dependent on so many other people that I would be terrified to use a first-round pick. I would want to do something else with that pick. Now, let me ask you this. You got people all around the league, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
You got people.
Mm-hmm.
What do people say about the Cincinnati Bengals as an organization? Because I'm starting to see the whispers of, Cincinnati's listening.
Oh,
if you
want
to trade for the pick, does Joe Burrow not want to play in Cincinnati?
I took a lot of grief from people on Twitter, and not that it matters. You know, because that's part of Twitter. You load up, you make opinions on it. You get knocked around a little bit. It's okay. People want to say though Cincinnati would be crazy to trade that pick. But you've never dealt with the Bengals like I have.
Tell me about it.
So and I went back, and I know that your radio partner, the General Gavin Dawson, is kind of talking about trade. How do you get to the first pick? How do you get to the first overall pick? You know, you could Google. You could Google the way the first overall pick has been moved throughout history. Some very creative ways of doing it. So if you're the Cincinnati Bengals, you should listen to all opportunities. You should listen to all inquiries, I should say. You know, you owe it to yourself not to be so blinded just by, okay, we've got to have this guy. You know, go into the process of saying, okay, let's evaluate Joe Burrow or whatever quarterback. There was a side of me believed that they could like Tua. You know, hell, one of the great successes they had in the history of their organization was with a left-handed quarterback named Boomer Esiason. You know,
I don't like that. The ball spins the wrong way.
Well, I'm just telling you, though, hard to catch. They could look at, you know, at Herbert.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there were other quarterbacks to be evaluated. And so for them to say, okay, they lock in on Burrow, that was I think it's wrong for Twitter world to say, oh, well, they're just locked in. That's their guy. No. And it's a very, very small scouting staff. It's a scouting staff that's primarily was a bunch of old coaches. You know, you got some personnel guys in there. The Tobins, the father, Duke, you know, and his father were old personnel guys. But it's a scouting staff that's not your traditional scouting staff.
Yeah.
And they do things a family way. And, you know, to me, they're a team that, and their history, they went up and traded for the first overall pick, Kajana Carter, in 1995.
Oh, I forget. He went number one?
One overall, Cincinnati, and blew out his knee. So that's kind of where you're at. That you know, you have to do yourself a service to listen to if people are willing to spend draft capital and also maybe potentially players to help your organization win. That's a team that obviously got the first pick for losing a lot of football games.
So if they're listening, I remember Lee Steinberg during the Super Bowl, the agent for Tua.
Right.
He was asked about, do you want your client to go number one overall? And he's like, well, you know, you want to go as high as you can, but you also want to go to an organization that you believe in, and I hope they fall in love with Joe Burrow. That is interesting to me that an agent is willing to just basically go on the record and be like, hey, we think that organization's a train wreck, and we don't want to play there.
Right.
And if Burrow goes that route too, which I haven't seen anything about that. I'm not saying right. that at all. I mean, he's an Ohio
kid.
Guy.
Yeah, he's an Ohio kid. There. Right, absolutely.
But I think it does become very interesting if that quarterback is like, yeah, you know.
Who do you see, Jeff? Okay, let's talk about this then a little bit. Who would you see being a team that could go dance up there?
I think Miami, let me ask you this. I think Miami's the obvious one.
Okay.
Because they have the picks.
Would
they got
you,
the
ammunition. Would you dance up there for Young, the Ohio State defensive end?
Depends who my team is.
Are we focusing so much on Burrow
at
quarterback? Would somebody go dance up there for Young?
I'll say no.
Because you're not going to give up the draft capital to go get a defensive end.
Because we know the tax that it costs to go up that high. Because it's basically, it's usually for quarterbacks. And if you want to go that high, it costs a lot.
Yeah.
Now, I do think this is I feel good about one edge rusher in this entire class. So if somebody did give up a lot to get Chase Young, I would understand, but not quarterback type compensation. So
what if Cincinnati just moved to, you know, I mean, they could probably still. Do you think they're dead set on getting a quarterback there at Cincinnati?
I think they should be.
I mean, I'm not acting like
I think they should
be.
We
need to study the Bengals, and then we'll get into that. We'll have an episode where it'll be about team needs and, you know, mock drafts and where, you know, we think these guys should go.
The Andy Dalton thing has run its course. But if they, you know, if they as a team evaluated it and said, listen, we know Tua's injury history, but his 3-month checkup looks great. We'll see what it looks like at the combine. If that looks great.
Okay. Talk about that a little bit. Maybe you kind of tried to work that in about Tua.
I saw yesterday that he had his 3 months since surgery sort of a medical evaluation. And they said that everything is as good as you could possibly want it to be.
See, that is going
so
to
he's
be
on track.
That is going to be the key for him.
Yeah.
That is going to be the key.
Hopefully he can throw at the combine, or if not,
We're going to be talking about this when he gets to the combine. We're going to be talking about how those medicals, that is going to be something very, very key to the direction of this draft.
Yeah.
Of what are Tua's mail. If you hear two or three teams have failed him, you know, believe that.
And now suddenly he gets picked 32nd. Where a team just goes, I'll take the fifth year, we'll see.
Had no choice, you know? I mean, there's going to be some teams that are going to pass him, and there's going to be some teams that clearly don't like the medicals.
Yeah. Well, we'll see on those quarterbacks, and we'll see who ends up picking number one overall, Brian.
But do you think that Cincinnati's going to hang in there?
I do. I think it would take a whole lot if I need a quarterback and I have the top pick and I like, you know, it goes back to what you're saying, though. It depends how they evaluate the player. But if I evaluate the player and say, oh, yeah, that's going to be a good NFL quarterback, boy, the amount that you would have to give me to pry that pick away from me would be absurd.
Well, you know, we always talked about going into the season, was it tank for Tua? Right?
Yeah.
Is it tank for Tua?
We didn't see the best college football season at quarterback of all time.
Trust me.
Joe Burrow went insane.
That's my school. But yeah, we wasted a year of his junior year for sure. You know, if that's what we were, you know, we should have back-to-back national titles. If that was
you're getting selfish now.
I am getting very selfish. But I'm interested, was any reason for the Dolphins or to move up? If in fact that we've talked about tank for Tua and the Dolphins were, you know.
Do you think things
have changed? I mean, everybody seemed to tank for Tua.
I love Tua as a prospect, but now you are talking about a guy who's had a knee, an ankle, a hip, and it's like, listen, don't you owe me like this is a revelation, sir.
No, I'm just saying.
If you can't stay on the field, we got a problem.
But if
you're a good quarterback, you also got to go, okay, but when's it worth it?
But everybody was talking about him as being the top prospect.
Because he's a baller.
Okay.
He's super good.
Maybe teams don't need to trade up. Maybe Cincinnati's not going to get what they want out of this if somebody... You know, maybe teams that are quarterback happy. Okay.
I'd be terrified. If I'm Cincinnati and Miami calls and like, hey, we'd love to talk to you about trading up. I'd be like, why?
Yeah.
And they'd be like, well, we want Burrow. And you're like, right, but I'm going to pick Burrow. And you're telling me you want Burrow and you want me to give you the guy that we both want. Why would I do that?
Yeah.
That's insane. Now, what if you're Cincinnati and you do want Burrow, but Miami says, well, we'll give you 5, 18, 20, whatever. Next year's one. And something else. You like, well, forget that quarterback. We'll find something else. We'll figure it out.
What do you think that Miami gained all this capital to get?
Quarterback to start. But I don't think that they gained all this capital to give up a bunch of it. Because like they gutted their team.
Yeah.
They said Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills and just ran anybody who was good out of Minka. Bye. And I think they thought they were going to be picking number one. And then they thought,
and you're scolding the coach for winning.
Yes, Brian Flores ruined all this. He should be coach of the year for winning 5 games with that team. I think they thought they would be picking number one.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, Pittsburgh had a bad record and a hurt quarterback when they made the Minka trade.
They thought
they were going to pick like 1-7
right.
and 12.
Oh, yeah.
Or 18,
they were looking at Ben Roethlisberger not playing anymore.
Yeah, they thought they were going to make a haul out of that thing.
Yeah.
And now it's like, no, you're 5-18 and 20, whatever the other one was. And it's like, oh man!
So you think that they're set up just to? You think they're that Miami's going to sit?
Yes, or go up? What? I guess what's interesting is what happens after 1 and 2.
Yeah,
because if I'm Washington, I'm not moving either, unless somebody wants to pay a quarterback tax. And I would tell, if I'm Washington, you know what I would tell anybody who called? Get to 3, then call me. You need to get to 3, then you can call me and come to 2, because I'm not losing my guy. It's not happening.
Yeah.
I think Miami will... It's hard to say stick and pick with 3 different first-rounders, because you could do so many things depending on who you like.
You could move around
so many ways.
You think, okay, which spot would you rather be in? Would you rather be in 1 or 2? Or trying to get to a spot?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you're looking for I should put it this way. I'm sorry. Do the Redskins have leverage in this thing? If Joe Burrow goes at 1, and you're a team that say wants to get ahead of the Dolphins and the Chargers, do you think the Redskins could get a better deal than what Cincinnati? Let me ask you this:
they couldn't get a better deal.
You shop the deal to the Bengals, and they don't take it.
Right?
Do you shop the same deal to the Redskins and thinking that you're going to get with get Tua?
If you're going to get a quarterback,
I mean, you need to stay ahead of the Dolphins and the Chargers. Am I right about that? Potentially the Panthers, too.
Well, how does this phone call go? Because if I'm Washington and Burrow's gone and you're coming up for a quarterback, I'm going to say, okay, but if you're coming up, you can't take Chase Young because I want him.
How far back?
That's what I'm saying. I'll go back one spot. If you're coming up and you promise that you're taking a quarterback and we pinky promise on that bad boy, then you need to get to three and then you call me. And then at that point, you don't have to call me because I'm at two and you know who I'm taking. So you really don't need to move up. Just go to three.
Let me ask you this. Say Carolina. This is a lot of fun. I love doing this.
Detroit's the spot.
Okay.
Because if you can get to Detroit's pick, you know Washington's taking Chase Young, or they should. Now, to your point, if they get a big enough haul, maybe they can be talked out of it.
Do you think the Lions take? The Lions have been talking about taking a corner the whole time, right?
Okuda?
Yeah.
I think Okuda would be a good pick there.
All right, Giants, offensive line, right? Tackle? And we write about offensive line with the Giants.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about the no-doubt top players of the class. Like,
offensive tackles.
There's a lot of them.
Go watch those cats.
Yeah.
Iowa.
When do we start talking about Derek Brown and Isaiah Simmons?
Oh, they're getting they get ready for the fall.
Oh, we're just going to mock draft this right now. Go ahead.
Let's talk about this for a second, and then we'll get to some of these players. I know people want to listen about the players. How about the Panthers? Could you get this? I'm just asking. Would teams pass on Chase Young because of need? Would the Lions pass? The Giants pass?
If they did, they're stupid.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
I think that's how
Could Carolina go all the way to two? And if the Redskins drop down to seven, could the Redskins get Chase Young?
No. No way.
Because you're saying
there's too many teams
Detroit would take him.
Somebody, because there's too many ways to get in trouble doing that. Like, yes, need is a factor in the draft, but if you're passing on, I bet Chase Young is going to be the top player on 25 or more boards, right?
Now
he doesn't play quarterback, but as a player at his position, they'll be like, that's the best player in this draft. And if you're going to pass on the best player in this draft, who's a pass rusher, because you have a need at whatever, I'd be like, well, you just screwed up big time.
So you're saying Chase Young does not get past the Lions?
No. Mm-mm.
Giants?
Uh-uh. Take him. If he's there, you
all right,
take
Dolphins
him.
And Chargers, all quarterbacks,
him.
Right?
I'll take him. They'll all take him.
So if you're the Redskins, you really can't trade out if you want Chase Young.
Uh-uh.
Am I right?
I think you're right.
That's what I was trying to ask.
Yeah, you can't.
Okay.
You got to stick and pick.
All right.
Okay, now.
I think Carolina's the team that's going to move, by the way.
You think they're going up or down?
I think they're going up.
Quarterback?
Yeah, I think so.
Tua? Herbert?
I don't know. I think they know they have to get ahead of the Chargers and the Dolphins. That's why the Redskin pick to me is interesting. But if you have it on high authority, not you, just if you're a team,
I've got it on high authority.
If you get on high authority that the Redskins are going to take Chase Young and not listen to anything,
yeah, then you got to get to three.
Then you got to get to Detroit.
Yeah, and they might be willing to play.
Because
there's a lot of corners in this draft. I'm going to take a corner. I mean, Okuda's the best one. But
right.
If I can get the right haul, I can deal with a different corner and some extra picks. I can do that. All right, I got a bunch of questions from people. What do you want to do? You want to do a bunch of questions from people?
Go ahead.
Let's see. Oh, you want to start with the first one? Because I retweeted you to ask the question, what else do people want to talk about? You said, let's talk about him today on Trust the Tape.
Yeah.
I was talking this morning about Ohio State's Damon Arnett, and I said, I think that's a nice fit for the Cowboys.
Yeah. If you're a Cowboy fan, we'll talk about him for some other teams, too.
Yeah.
Talk about what you see about this young man.
I was watching him this morning.
Yeah.
And
glad you weren't playing video games.
I have not. I'll have you know. I have not plugged my PlayStation back in since Super Bowl Sunday. It's on the floor in my room.
At a protest. Or is it laziness?
Laziness.
Okay.
But anyway.
Talk to me about Arnett. He's the corner opposite Okuda.
Opposite Okuda. And I will tell you what. I thought people were terrified of Okuda, but that Clemson game, they threw at Okuda a lot more than they threw at Damon Arnett.
Ooh. Tell me more.
Arnett is listed at 6'195".
Uh-huh.
The production is not great. He had one pick this year, I think five in his career, but the one pick went 96 yards for a score.
Mm-hmm.
I got him credited with eight passes deflected, but I like him.
Yeah.
I watched three games of him, and I think they play a really nice mix of coverages.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good press man player. He finds the football when you go down the field. The back shoulder's tough to complete on him. Throwing downfield is tough to complete on him. Get a little grabby on the inside stuff.
Okay.
But I watched him play man coverage. I watched him play a lot of cover three. And I think he's a versatile corner that's going to make somebody pretty darn happy. And I bet he gets picked somewhere in the 25 to 40 range.
Oh, see, so late one, early two.
I think probably. For me, he's I think he's a second round grade.
I don't disagree with you at all. I really, really don't. I mean, this guy does. I think he's got ideal size for a corner. He's just a good looking guy in that uniform out there. And I like the fact that I think you mentioned this a little bit, that how he gets his head around quick for the ball.
Yep.
He'll find that ball and he's quick to turn and adjust the receiver. He's really a flexible player when you watch how he moves and bends and turns, and he's quick to turn open, then go. He'll play coverage really, really tight. He plays the ball really well in the air. I love that about him. There's some snaps you could actually see him play some at safety, too, which is kind of a scheme thing if you want to do some things with him like that.
I saw him slide inside for a few snaps, yeah, too, like a nickel
corner.
Oh,
no, absolutely. He could cover some ground, too, when he's running. Tracks the ball. He had a couple questionable angles that he took. But overall, I mean, he stayed right where he needed to be. I love the tight coverage, drives on the ball. I think you're more right about that possible 1-2 than just a straight two.
Yeah.
But a nice fit. If you're a team that needs a corner on the back end, and this draft has plenty of corners. We'll talk about them, you just keep adding guys to the mix. So I looked at the kid, Robertson from the University from Louisiana Tech. He's a five.
Tiny man
makes some plays though on the ball, but he's got a bad hip, you know. But there's some guys as you start getting down in this third, fourth round. I mean, this draft's stretching pretty deep that direction.
Dan Ruppert or Rupert, but it's two P's, so I think it's Ruppert.
Rupert?
He says, give me Adam Trautman and a tight end discussion.
Hmm.
Adam Trautman, Dayton man. Is he your top tight end?
He is, and I know you don't go that direction.
He's my third tight end.
Okay. I will talk about the pros of Mr. Trautman. And again,
he's a monster.
Yeah,
he's a monster.
He is a monster. And he's a bully the way he plays, and he should be a bully when you're playing Duquesne and Indiana State and people like that. He went up in weight class, though, at the Senior Bowl, was more involved in the game with more blocking stuff, which you could kind of see. That's something he's not afraid of at all. But you can tell watching games, he is the best player on the field. He'll play in line. He'll play as a wing. He gets into his block, and he can make things happen. He's taken these guys that are going to be accountants and lawyers and just driving them
in. He likes to finish some blocks,
too. He does. And he's really, really good because of his movement skills. They'll see him run on wheel routes and things down the field. They try and throw him the football. In those types of situations, he could be a matchup problem. There's nobody in his division that can cover him. When he wants to get open, he knows he's bigger than everybody else, and he takes advantage of it. There's some things where he'll adjust the ball wherever it's thrown. You'll see him. He'll go behind him. He'll go above his head. He'll go in front of him. He'll extend. He catches the ball well along the sidelines. He's just a natural catcher of the football. So. The Senior Bowl was big for him. It showed he could go up in weight class. He is my number one tight end on the board. I've got him, though, more in that, using your grading scale, more of that 1-2 variety, not like we've seen last year, you know, with the Iowa tight end going to Detroit in the top 10.
Hockenson.
Hockenson. I don't see that being the case with this guy. I think he'll be the first tight end. But you have to. This is a really, really good group of tight ends. The more I've dove into them, I was watching the Vanderbilt kid Pickney today.
Yeah,
and I felt like that his problems were more quarterback related than him. I think when you start talking about true inline wide tight ends, this guy could play that. Talk about get into blocks, make, you know, finish people. Got a really good understanding of how to play with technique. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, coming into senior year, he was the best tight end in the draft, and da 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 da. Well. You know, I think a lot of it had to play. Vanderbilt's offense just wasn't good enough, and I think he suffered for that. But you talk about, you go through. There's, I know you're going to talk about the Washington kid.
Oh, the firm of Bryant and Bryant.
The firm of Bryant and Bryant. Those two. I tell you what, the Bryant kid from Florida Atlantic is
he's very good,
incredible, an incredible player, and he's not your Ben. But there's a guy that's not your traditional inline Y, more flexed, more to the outside, a good blocker, and he blocked well at the Senior Bowl as well. So, you know, these kinds of things are things when you're studying tight ends. I'm getting to the point, Jeffrey, where I'm now starting to say, well, the blocking, yeah, it's important. It always was this old school block guy. You got to be able to get downfield and make plays. You got to be a mismatch problem. You got to be blocked well enough. I don't think you have to be a great blocker to play in the National Football League. But if you could make plays in other fashions, forms and fashions, I think that's more important than being a great blocker. That's just me.
Yeah.
That's what I'm learning.
I was kind of surprised by this tight end class because I heard before I started watching you guys it was a bad tight end class, and I'm watching and I'm like, okay, Harrison Bryant, I really like at Florida Atlantic. Hunter Bryant, I like.
I like Hunter Bryant a lot in Washington, yeah.
Troutman, I like at Dayton. He's my third guy, but like you, he's my top actual tight end prospect.
Right.
Guy who you could actually ask to block. I like the Purdue kid.
I haven't seen Purdue. I've seen Kmet from Notre Dame.
Kmet, I got like third round. I think he's really, it's going to sound like an insult, he's kind of generic tight end man.
Yeah,
I can block a little bit. Yeah, I can run all the basic routes you want. Yeah, I'll catch the ball. It's all very, that's a standard NFL tight end.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's a pretty decent group. Let me see here.
Have you looked at the Missouri kid?
I have not. Missouri kid and Vanderbilt kid. Albert O.
Kuye Bunam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just proud that you have a pronunciation guy.
I'm so proud of this. I'm sorry, folks. I don't mean to mispronounce your players. I'm sorry about that. I mean, I had that problem when I was working in the NFL, and everybody would laugh at me because I see it a different way than everybody else. But, yeah, I like that kid from Missouri, by the way. I really, really do.
6'2", 264.
Yeah, I like him. Good-looking athlete physically. We're talking about tight ends here. You know, he'll line up several different spots. He'll play inline Y. He'll play flex. Quarterbacks have a hard time getting him the ball, though. Again, these quarterbacks are kind of at the mercy of
the quarterbacks.
But he catches the ball really well on the move. He's physical with the ball in his hands. He tends to push off to gain separation. I saw a share of double teams in the Georgia game. He could be a weapon down the field. Size helps him as a blocker. He's not going to hammer you, but he's more of a shield and getting away kind of guy. So there's some quickness in his routes for his size. Impressive the way he moves. So take a look, guys and gals out there. If you're looking at these tight ends, find the kind of guy you like because there's a good range of them.
From Travis Cheek. He's a cheeky fellow.
Cheeky fellow.
Let's see. He said, when are you comfortable with Dallas taking a tight end in the draft? You know, we just talked to tight ends. We got a feel for them.
I hope you got
You get the right guy in the third, I'll take him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, you're a big Jordan Elliott, the Missouri defensive tackle
proponent.
This
is true. This is true.
What separates him in the second round from guys like Davis, Gallimore, Hamilton, or Matabuki?
You have Matabuki in the second round, right? Texas A&M?
Yeah, I've got Matabuki. I've got Jordan Elliott. I've got Neville Gallimore. I have all of them in the second round.
You like Gallimore from Oklahoma the least of that group?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he's a guy who gets bullied way too often for Blacklock, defensive tackle. I like Blacklock right in front of Gallimore, too.
Okay.
Yeah, Blacklock.
We talked about all these guys. If you want to go back and listen to defensive tackle talk, we had that of some names last week on the podcast. So if you want to go back to that. I think to me...
When he says Davis, is he talking about Raekwon Davis?
Yeah,
Alabama.
Alabama, yeah.
You know what? I watched him. He's okay, but...
No pass rush at all, right?
Right. As a sophomore, he had 8.5 sacks. Yeah. I don't know how, because as a senior, I'm watching him, and you know what he is? He's like a 3-4 D end.
Yeah.
He's a control the blocker, play the run,
well, that's kind
long,
of what, that's
big
what,
guy.
That's what they do. That's what they do.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe,
I think
maybe
the thing with Elliott from Missouri, I think you could line him up at 1 or at 3. And you're going to get production. Hey, this guy's what?
Especially once you teach him how to play.
Yeah, he's hard to block.
He is, but he's high pad level,
disrupted.
Not great hand usage. But once you get him that, holy cow!
Well, go back and listen to last week's podcast.
Yeah.
We talked about that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Let me see. What would you do with the Dolphins draft? Pick all the good players. They got 5, 18, and 20 something.
Do you see a very similar plan? Do you see them just standing there, much like the Raiders did, and make all those picks last year? Or do you see them moving around a little bit and trying to kind of pinpoint some guys? I have a feeling that some good players are going to fall to them.
Yeah, I really think sitting still works, and I think
when you have multiple first round picks, I think sitting still is not a bad plan.
No, but it also gives you flexibility. Like, yeah, I can move down from this one and then up from this
Keep
one, and
picks.
I can bounce all over this draft and just pick out. I mean, if you're the Dolphins, do they have 2 or 3 second rounders this year? They got a lot of picks.
Yeah,
they could come out of this draft with 4 or 5 starters.
Oh, I think that Chris Greer's going to move maybe one of those 2 picks, and maybe at that back end you get somebody that sees a. Maybe one of those quarterbacks is sitting there that people don't want to, you know.
And they're probably a ways away, so I'm not afraid to, you wanted to come up and get my pick?
Yeah.
Well, I'll take a pick in this draft and your next year's
exactly.
one.
So exactly.
So let's keep building.
Exactly. Yeah. Keep building through the draft. That's I could see Chris Greer doing that with the Dolphins. I like the Dolphins will end up having the best draft because they'll have the most high picks.
Yes.
That's how this will work. At the end of the day, when we're all doing our draft coverage, Jeffrey, it's going to be, well, whose draft did you like? Well, I really like what the Dolphins did today. You know, when they pick 3 first-round guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Texas Longhorns prospects. What do you got? Duvernay. You got Colin Johnson and Brandon Jones.
Yeah, I haven't seen Brandon. Can you give me a little scouting report on the safety, Brandon Jones?
I can.
Because we all understand Duvernay. You watch him play, man. He's impressive. He really is impressive.
It's just so deep at receiver.
Yeah.
It's so deep at receiver that I think Duvernay could be like a 4th-round guy. Because it's just, then again, you'll have 20 receivers go in the first 3 rounds, so maybe he is a day 2 guy. It's just so many are going to go. But Brandon Jones,
please
number
do.
19.
Safety from Texas.
Texas, number 19, 6
Brian
foot.
Strong, what do you think there?
Strong.
Okay.
6 foot, 205, 86 tackles, 2 picks, 1 sack, 4 passes defended. Against LSU, he ended up playing a lot of slot corner because that school runs out so many receivers.
They spread you out,
Yeah, so he had to do that. Didn't have a problem carrying Jefferson down the field on an incomplete pass, carried him perfectly. I think in the run game, you're looking at some serious sideline-to-sideline speed. Against TCU, they play sort of a 3-3-5, and he's the 5th DB, who's kind of a third-level linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
Versatility to play man and zone. Probably trust him with backs and tight ends. Very willing in the run game. Not always the quickest to diagnose. He wants to hit, can cover ground. Aggressive and reliable tackler in the open field. Unrefined in coverage. Tries to catch guys when they get to him. When he's asked to play man, just collides and chases. He's a box guy with some athletic ability.
So okay,
for me, he's like a 3rd round.
Okay, so you think the problems of the key and diagnose could be the issue there? I mean, what he sees, not playing with his eyes and stuff like that? Or do you think the fact that he's just going to be a box safety.
I think he's just a box. I think he's a box safety that you can ask to cover running backs, no problem, and tight ends some.
He could be physical when he has to do those
but
things.
But when you're asking him to cover wide receivers, I think he has a tendency to just like stand there, catch crash, and then try to chase him.
Hope he doesn't get a call against
him. Yes, and that's a tough way to do things. But I do like him. I think,
The two receivers, Johnson and Duvernay, you like Duvernay better?
I'm so scared of big receivers.
Yeah, that...
Johnson was so good at the Senior Bowl, though. Those guys couldn't cover him.
Yeah.
He's a giant. He's got a huge wingspan. I'm scared of big receivers now. So I'll have them both in the 3rd, 4th round.
Yeah.
Where it's like, what do you want?
I think, yeah.
Do you believe in the giant man?
Yeah.
Because he looks good. He's a good-looking player.
Is the Penn State kid, the receiver?
KJ Hamler.
Hamler, is he your highest-rated small receiver?
Yes.
Tiny man receiver.
Yes, because Jalen Reagor's 5'11". He's not a tiny man.
Right.
So, Hamler, 2nd round kind of guy.
Right.
Penn State. Yeah.
Right.
I think he's going to run a 4-3.
Okay, let me ask you this, though. Tiny man receiver scare you more or big man receiver scare you more?
Probably big man receiver. I'm confident that
the NFL
just
keeps... Boy, that kid back in the day killed you, huh?
Yeah. Treadwell destroyed my heart. Because the game keeps going where it's like if you've got speed to go either vertical or horizontal to stretch this field in one way or another, the NFL
play with
keeps
lateral quickness and all
and make 50-yard plays, you change games.
Hill,
so
like in Kansas City?
Yeah, Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
I think he's got double as many 40-plus yard touchdowns as anybody else since he's been in the league.
Right.
Like people want that. That's what they're looking for.
Explosive plays.
Who's going to change the game for me like he does? And the answer is Henry Ruggs and Jalen Reagor and maybe KJ
Ruggs.
Hamler. Like, those are game changers.
Yeah.
I don't think I have anything else that we got to get to today, Brian. I think we can go home. I think we're good.
You go do our real jobs?
Yeah. Man, I can't wait to hear what kind of real job you end up with.
I'm looking forward to finding out about my real job here soon.
Yeah, I think it'll be really cool whenever you find that real job.
Just let me know if you find anything, if you find anything out.
I got a good feeling about you in the near future.
You scouted me well?
Yeah, I got a good feeling about your potential in the near future.
All right, I'll try and live up to your expectations. How about that?
All right. If you caught that Easter egg, congratulations. Thanks for listening to Trust the Tape, and we'll see you next week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.